This episode of The Girlfriend Bracket is brought to you by Gathering Magic and CoolStuffInc.com. With free shipping on orders of $100 or more, a 25% buy list bonus, and their ever-popular customer rewards program, CoolStuffInc is the store for all of your Magic the Gathering needs. Hello, hello, hello. This is episode number 100 of The Girlfriend Bracket. My name is Erin.
I'm Hallie.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Chris.
100!
100 emoji, we've 100 made emoji. It.
Jeez. Can you believe that we're here?
It's been a long journey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if you would have told me 2 years ago that we would be here, I would have never believed you. And it feels like a relief.
It does feel like we've passed a milestone. Like, oh, it's finally here.
You know, people don't believe me when I say that. You know, I've been podcasting for a really long time. And it's like, you know, most podcasts don't even make it past 10 episodes. Like, if you go on, I don't know if you've ever heard of the website mtgcast.com. Mm-mm. But it's basically a hub for like magic podcasts, and you know, no shade, of course, but like if you go there, you can see like dozens of shows that never even make it to like 10. You know, they'll get to like 3, 5, 8. You know, it's really easy to start a podcast, but it's really difficult to like maintain one. And so, you know, I have a lot of respect for shows that can make it to 30, that can make it to 50, and then, you know, ultimately to 100. And, you know, if you're lucky enough to be like the A team that cracked 100, and I think they even cracked 200 before they retired, that's a huge deal. And so I have a lot of respect for creators that can keep it going because it's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So before we wrap things up, we want to kind of keep things as you know, usual as possible, as traditional as possible. And we started around episode 30, we started a segment called the Woman of Excellence segment, which we use to highlight awesome women in the community that were doing good work. And tonight we're going to debut a new segment as well called People of Excellence. And the people that we're going to nominate our listeners, our fans who were nice enough to send us audio clips telling us what the show has meant to them and how we've inspired them. And we thank them for that, and they're awesome. So let's take a second to listen to what they had to say.
Hello, Girlfriend Bracket. My name is Melissa, and you answered my listener question way back in episode 9. I've been listening to you from the start. I wanted to say congratulations on 100 episodes. That's a real accomplishment. I love the real conversations that you've had every week about relevant topics in magic. You always brought up the important conversations to have, and it has given me lots to talk about with my fellow magic friends. Thanks again for being you and being awesome. Good luck in all your future endeavors, and we'll miss you.
Hi ladies, my name's Damien. I just wanted to say thank you for 100 episodes of great entertainment and thought-provoking commentary. You've inspired me to start planning my own podcast, and I wish you all the best in the future.
Hey everyone at The Girlfriend Bracket, this is your friend, Eric Sias, and I'm here with my wife, Nydia Sias.
Hey everyone.
Hey Nydia, did you know that they have now recorded 100 episodes?
What?
That's really awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, ladies, thank you all for everything that you've done for the community. We're really happy for everything that you've done for the magic scene as a whole. Not only that, but for being our friends as well. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we're going to miss you.
If this is your last episode, which I'm hoping it's not, we wish you all the best of luck in anything else that you guys do. And if it's not, then we look forward to hearing more from you. Love you guys. Later.
Bye.
Can you congratulate someone and know you're going to miss them at the same time? It's that conundrum that you, the Girlfriend Bracket, have put us in at TryHards. Ladies, we just wanted to say hello, thanks, and congratulations from all of us here at TryHards.
Girlfriend Bracket, this is TryHard Brian telling you congratulations, thanks for everything you've done for the community over the past few years.
Hey, this is Matt Hurley from the TryHards. Sorry to see you go, and thanks a lot for all the content you produce over the years.
And I'm Sean. Erin, Hallie, Katie, Chris, thank you so much for the work that you've done over the years and continued success in all your endeavors. I know how much you love the game, and we love having you as part of the community, whether you're casting or not.
That was really awesome. Thank you so much for sending in those clips. I I think that's been the hardest part about, you know, agreeing to end the show is seeing the feedback from people, where even today, you know, we had some really lovely tweets from somebody that said they, you know, somebody said they enjoyed every single episode. Somebody said, I think the most touching thing I saw was someone said, thank you for leaving the community in better shape than when you came. And I was just like, wow, like, what do you say to that?
No words.
Yeah, I mean, we've always had some really amazing listeners. And I think that's been the best part of doing this show, at least for me, has been, you know, how personal it's been. You know, people have come up to us at events and told us their stories. And, you know, that's just so different than what I'm used to with Magic Mics and even the Deck Tees. And I really can't thank people enough for literally just letting us into their world every week. It's been a pleasure. So the Amonkhet spoiler came out the other day. We were able to see the whole set finally, and I thought it might be fun to talk about what we're looking forward to. And Hipsters of the Coast is a website that we've plugged before, and they did something very interesting. They described cards from the set in terms of these superlatives, sort of like in your high school yearbook, where it's like, you know, class clown, or like most likely to succeed, or things like that. And they went through and kind of nominated various cards for various titles, and we thought it might be fun to, you know, highlight some cards with our own kind of titles. And, you know, who wants to go first? Because I picked a couple and I thought this was really fun to do.
I picked some and I was really excited about them, even though I wasn't necessarily like excited about the cards, but coming up with the superlatives I thought was really fun.
Are you not excited about the stats?
Oh no, I'm okay. That was some poor communication on my end. Super excited about the set, but my superlative cards are not necessarily cards that I'm excited about in general. So, I have most likely to be mistaken for the book Dune. Sandworm Convergence, which is the one where there's a giant worm coming out of the sand and there's like birds that are fleeing for their lives off in the background. Most likely to have back problems is the prowling serpapard. I don't know how to say that word, but the snake cat.
Serpapard. It's a serpent and a leopard.
I've heard it's real. Like, that's an actual word.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I did not know that.
Oh, I love, here's the irony here, that the vet student didn't know that the animal was real.
Well, that spine, like, those legs should not be able to support that spine.
You need to get him one of the vests that, like, the pugs have to wear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Put him in a cute little, like, he can have little shoes. Anyway, sorry, I digress. Most likely to rebel against their parents would be the Defiant Great Maw, which is the hippo, which is my favorite card in the set.
Oh, hippo.
I love hippos and all their fierceness and everything about them. But, and then I had one more, which is most likely to need directions, which is the wayward servant who's out in the sand wandering lost. I don't know if they can talk though, because I think it's a zombie, so, you know, he might just groan and do his zombie thing. Those are my superlatives.
Those are awesome.
Mine were not as funny as Katie's.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to set the bar too high.
Oh, I mean, I just sort of had, like, most likely to make it into someone's tribal minotaur's deck for Neheb the Worthy. Though, I mean, it's... Oh, wait. Well, there are a couple of minotaurs, so... He is the worthiest minotaur, so
for sure
he gets that superlative.
Okay, so I had a hard time coming up with some just because I'm just not that creative. But for Harsh Mentor, I had most likely to follow up a goblin guide.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's good.
Ouch.
Censor, most likely to not see radio airplay. And I was trying to think up something good for the new Liliana, but all I could think about was, like, most likely to cause you pain and make you think you like it.
That's a good one.
I came up with, I had most likely to wind up in my EDH deck, which is Rhonas. The first time I saw it, I was like, oh, Omnath would love that. Like, being able to, you know, pump a lot of green mana. You know, if you recall, I had up to 87 mana the other day just laying around. And so, you know, being able to pour, you know, 87 green worth of mana into Rhonas and then use it to pump up your creatures, you can do some really nasty things with that. And, you know, my Omnath deck tends to have a lot of fatties, so it's not going to be hard to have a creature that can turn Rhonas on. on. Can I just say how awkward that always sounds? Like, whenever people keep talking about turning gods on, I just immediately turn into a 12-year-old where I'm like, I just start snickering and I'm like, I bet you're going to turn them on. And it's like, stop it, stop it, stop it. And so I think it'd be very easy for me to activate Ronus in my Omnath deck. So Ronus is definitely going in the EDH deck. I think the most overrated card is Bone Picker. I've seen so many conversations on Twitter that are like, it's the Black Delver. And it's like, no, 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 no. Like, it's just not where you want to be. Please don't try to make it happen. It just seems like it's going to be a disaster. And likewise, I think the most underrated card, or the card that's most likely to be broken, is Shadow of the Grave. There's just something there where I'm like, I can't quite put my finger on it, but when I look at it, you know, being able to return everything that you cycle or discard kind of reminds me of, like, you know, we're seeing some antics with like Crackland Ironworks, and we're seeing antics with, you know, even with Storm decks, or like decks that can sort of form loops. It's like, you know, I can see a loop here. I'm just not really quite sure how I'd fill in the gaps, but I think there's something there. And so I hope that somebody can do something with that. Most likely to end up in a dredge deck. That was probably going to be either Failure to Comply or Start to Finish. Failure to Comply, it gives dredge an Orym's Chant, basically, which is really cool. We've never had access to that before. And Start to Finish gives us like unconditional removal. Being able to sacrifice a creature, it's not hard for dredge to even have a creature, number one, but then to be able to have that effect from the graveyard to basically flash it back and kill something. You know, we have things like Conflagrate, we have things that might give you like a minus something, but this is straight destroy a creature. It doesn't matter what color it is, it doesn't matter what toughness it is, and that's really awesome. It kind of goes, doesn't go well with Bridge from Below, but it's just something dredge has never had before, and so I'm really excited to try both of those cards. And, you know, looking at the whole set, you know, I'm really excited to pre-release for this. And what are your pre-release plans?
My pre-release plans are to hopefully do one singles event on either Midnight, if I can force myself to stay awake that long, because it's been a very long time since I've done that, or singles Saturday during the day. I am going to do Two-Headed Giant with someone on Saturday, and then on Sunday I'm going to drive up to Madison, and I'm going to help Jacob, one of the L2s up there, judge the pre-release at I'm Bored.
Oh, wow.
So I'm excited. I don't know what to expect, but I'm going to be reading the release notes like crazy. So, yeah, I'm hype, and I just want to play with cards and judge and do all the things. And so I'm ready. Countdown to this weekend.
Wow. When can you take the judge test again?
Well, they had said to wait 2 months. So in theory, next month. However, when I got my assignment email from Jacob, he had also mentioned, oh, we should try to sit you down for an L1 test. And I'm thinking, I haven't been studying for anything lately because I've had so many other things to worry about. And so I don't know what the status is. I'll have to check on that to see if that's a thing or if I should just wait. Either one I think I'm fine with. I just don't want to not put in enough effort again for some reason, just because I've had other things on my plate, and then fail it again. So I just want to feel good about it before I do it. But I would like to be L1, like, ASAP, because I needs it.
That's reasonable. Do you get, like, any sort of cool judge shirt to wear for Sunday? Like,
No, I'm going to wear a black polo shirt that I have and try to seem a professional and like I know what I'm doing, when in actuality I don't. So I'm going to be looking to Jacob for lots of direction. And one of our fans, Tim, he's also going to be judging, I believe, either that day or the previous day. So I'm hoping to see him when I go up there. So yeah, I don't know what to expect, but I'm kind of hype and nervous and excited all at the same time.
You need to take yourself down to Foot Locker and get you like a referee shirt, get you like a whistle, and put on like your best gym teacher face and be like, "All right, we're here to pre-release," and blow your whistle and
blow the whistle. Excuse me, I'm going to need you to make a play.
I love it. You could be like Sue Sylvester from Glee.
Yes.
Are you going to make a play? That's fantastic. And I really hope that you you know, I know that you haven't had a lot of time lately because of a lot of things going on, but, you know, I've said it before, but I really do think that you are a natural. Like, I think you have the attitude and you have the personality to be a good judge, and you have a lot of support from the judge community, and I hope that you are able to pick it up when you have the time, because I can't imagine anybody, you know, better for it than you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, I'm only doing 2 pre-releases this time. I'm going to 2 pre-releases. Yeah, I'm going to 2 at Card Kingdom on Saturday. And then Sunday is Robert's and my anniversary. So we thought about going to the pre-release together, but we thought we might do something a little different that day, like go to a museum or just do something a little off the beaten path. So just 2 this time, but I'm really excited for this weekend.
Wow. What anniversary is this? Your 3rd, 4th?
This is number 4.
Wow. Aww. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, and it's really funny because I met Robert at my local game store, strangely enough, the game store that I now work at, oddly enough. And it was funny because I was talking to a coworker earlier today, and the subject came up, and he was just like, oh, how long have you and Robert been together now? And I was like, 4 years. And he was like, wow. It just, the time goes by really quickly. So, yeah, it's really hard to believe that it's been that long.
Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. I'm happy for you guys.
Thank you.
This weekend, I will not be pre-releasing. I have 2 exams, 2 finals next week, and 3 the week after that. So I am planning a Modo pre-release for myself when it comes online, and I might stream or I might draft. I might stream a draft or sealed, depending on how I'm feeling when I get around to it. But in the next 2 weeks, for sure, I'll be exploring the set. It's just this weekend's really bad timing for me. So, but I'm looking forward to seeing what everybody posts on Twitter, because I know everybody always posts their decks and how they did, and kind of seeing what's good and what's not so great. And just seeing all the synergy with the cards is what I'm really excited for, because it looks like there's a lot of synergy in this set. It's just kind of cracking it and making it all work that is the challenging part sometimes. So I'm excited for it. I wish I was pre-releasing, but it is just not in the cards today.
She said in the cards. I see what you did there.
Gotta keep that pun life real.
Absolutely. And hopefully, you know, if anybody's listening, you know, please, you know, tag Katie in your wonderful pictures so that way she can live vicariously through you and let her know that you're thinking of her. I will be pre-releasing. I have not pre-released since Shadows, I think. And so I'm really excited about that. And I actually have a date on one of the pre-release events. My date and I will be playing in the Two-Headed Giant event on Saturday, which I've jokingly said before is like Magic's equivalent of like the blood test before you get married. And so we're about to find out. He is a Magic player, like, just to clear this up. I talked about it on Facebook, and I got the feeling that some people thought that he was like a muggle that didn't play, and I was just dragging some poor bastard to play Magic with me. But no, he does in fact play. He actually plays Merfolk in Modern. I'm dating a fish. Look at that. And then he plays Sneak and Show in Legacy. So we're both on the non-interactive train, which is cool. But yeah, he plays Magic as well. And I had just asked him what his pre-release plans were, and he hadn't decided yet. And I was like, we should Two-Headed Giant. And so we're going to see if we, you know, have the chemistry to be a really awesome team, or if we're going to end up killing each other. So hopefully it goes well. All I keep hearing in my mind is me going, you know, I wasn't ready to go to combat, fool. And like just turning into a thing, because as I've mentioned before, you know, I can love somebody, but we may not necessarily have the chemistry to two-hit a giant well. So I'm really hoping that he and I click in that regard and that we form an awesome team. And I think it'll be a lot of fun. If I enjoy the set enough, I might come back on Sunday and do it again. But as far as I know, that's going to be my only taste of Amonkhet this weekend.
Cool. Yeah. That'll be fun.
Did you guys have a chance to watch the pre-release hosted by Loading Ready Run this past weekend?
I did.
Okay. Were there any insights into, like, deck building or any cards that really shined?
Black seems very good. Though, it was funny. I remember when they did the Shadows Over Innistrad pre-release, which I believe was the first one, everyone was playing red. And then I was like, oh, red must be really good in this set. And I went and drafted, and then I realized that red was decent. It was one of the better colors, but, like, it didn't especially stand out. It just happened that everyone opened good red cards in their pools. And so this time, you know, I always kind of go into them with a grain of salt, and I was just like, okay, you know, maybe there will be some sweet cards. A lot of people were playing black for some reason. A couple people were playing black green or black white. Those color combinations seem pretty sweet. Like black white zombies has a lot of synergy in it. But a lot of it just came down to like people having sweet mythics, which sometimes is just how sealed goes. I know the first match I watched, which was between Graham and Adam, both of whom are from Loading Ready Run, was basically a Planeswalker battle where Adam had a Liliana and Graham had a Nissa. And it turns out that when you use Nissa to make 2/5/5 flyers, then your opponent's Liliana is not long for this world. So that's how that ended. So Nissa seems super impressive. I know that there's been a lot of hype around her because she's just, her card design is just very innovative and interesting. And she seemed like a pretty decent card in Limited, which I was glad to see, since she didn't seem like a planeswalker that inherently like protects herself super well. So that was cool. It seems like there is quite a bit of synergy in the set, with -1/-1 counters especially. And yeah, it seemed pretty sweet. It just kind of gave me a taste of what the format was like. But I like it so far, and I'm excited to play it.
Did you observe anything while you were watching Haley in relation to how the gods interacted, or did you feel that they were really powerful or anything? Because I know that there was someone I know that has a concern about that, so I didn't know if you saw anything.
Not a whole lot. I mean, unfortunately, when you play an 8-player sealed tournament, like, you only open so many of certain things. I know a couple people opened gods and then, like, didn't draw them in the game, so we didn't really get to see them. Oketra seemed pretty good, from what I saw. There were a couple people who opened Oketra, and she seemed decent. Like, her ability to just, like, make tokens, like, making tokens continually is just a great ability and Limited, so she seemed pretty good, but otherwise, like, I didn't get to see very much.
I can't speak to Limited, but I know that Channel Fireball's Zvi Moshevitz, he just came up with the deck. People are kind of hypothesizing what Standard might look like, and he recently threw together a deck called Empty Hand of the Gods. Hmm. Which basically uses Hazoret and things like Noose Constrictor and Lupine Prototype. Along with things like Blood Rage Brawler. It's basically a red-green aggro list with Bomat Courier. Hello, Bromat Courier. And then Honored Hydra and things like that. And it looks like a lot of fun. And this was a deck that really makes it easy for you to be Hellbent so that Hazoret turns on, or it gives you multiple tools to do that. And this was like a really good first draft to something that I'd even play in Standard. Like, there's a lot of fun cards here. So if the gods don't have a home in Limited, I think there's very much room for them in Standard.
Oh, yeah. I've been looking at the gods, and they seem really interesting. Like, I really like Ronus so far. Ronus seems really sweet. But I also really like Bantu. I think Bantu hadn't come out yet when we last recorded. But when I saw Bantu, I was just like, holy crap. Like, this is a real card. You can, like, get him to attack or block pretty easily, because you just, like, even if you sacked another creature and scryed one, and that was, like, all that ability did, that, like, I would play that. But you scry one, you sack another creature, you scry one, and you drain your opponent, like, that just seems incredible to me.
Yeah, I feel like Bantu is one of those cards that, you know, I feel like there are certain abilities that require a higher skill set. Like, scrying, for example. You know, I feel like scrying is something that better players really make the most out of. And I feel like when you look at the gods, there are certain gods that, like, are inherently good. Like, when you look at Ronus, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to know what to do with Ronus, where it's like, put mana in, make things big, turn them, boom. Like, end of story. You know, you look at Oketra, you're like, I make weenies, go. You know, there's no rocket science there. But when you look at something like Hazoret, where it's like, okay, I've got to discard some things. How do I get Hellbent? You know, the skill level kind of goes up a little bit. You know, we're on an incline here. And I feel like Bantu is one of those that's maybe at the highest. I think that has the highest skill set of all the gods. Where you're looking at it and you're like, you know, and then someone like Sam Black comes along or someone like Sean McLaren comes around and shows you what you can do with it, you know, and that's like the level five of like skills. And then when you really see what it's capable of, you're like, oh. And so I think it's one of those that's not inherently clear what you're supposed to do with it. But once someone kind of cracks the code and shows you what to do with it, you know, it can really do some broken things. And yeah, I agree with you. I think Bantu's really, really good.
Mm-hmm. I think Kefnet's kind of like a sleeper god.
Yeah?
Like, I remember when Thassa got spoiled and, like, nobody was super hype on her. And then Mono Blue came out and everybody was like, oh, look, Thassa, she does shit. And I feel like Kefnet's, like, the same way. I don't know. I have high hopes to see that card in Standard because I think it could be good. You just kind of have to work it in and, like, make it work for you. But I want to see people play it, so... Somebody play it, please.
I agree, Katie. I'm going to try to start brewing with Kefnet. Like, I was considering some things at work, but unfortunately, we just don't have any good instant card draw.
Mm-hmm. You've got the new blue pole from tomorrow.
I mean, it's... But that's it. there's just... Like, that's the only thing, and that's the thing that makes me sad. It's like, I want to draw more cards and more cards and more cards. I mean... Duh, four pull from tomorrow would be like have to be in there, but I need to see what my other options are first. But I'm excited about pull from tomorrow. Like, I think that could definitely be a card. I want control to be a thing, damn it. Like, yes. Let us have it.
Yes.
I want zombies to be a thing. I declared on Twitter that if zombies ever became Standard viable, I would 100% play Standard. I would go to the card shop tonight and buy the cards that I need. That's all I want. I just want to play with dead things. I feel like there are some cards that can help out with that. I feel like, you know, we have the Zombie Lord. We have Plague, the Plague Zombie, which I think can do things. I think that we have some of the white cards, which are really cool. There's the one card, Time to Reflect, which is exile a creature that was blocked or blocking a zombie this turn. Like, for one white, that's amazing. I feel like there are some pieces here that could maybe fill in the gaps to making a black-white zombie deck, and I'm completely here for that. So I'm very much keeping an eye on that. And even the green-red, even the green-red deck that Jvi kind of threw together, you know, this deck looks fun. You know, it's not my usual style of play, but, you know, I feel like not only are the Amonkhet cards good, but I feel like they also have the potential to, you know, bring back other cards that we haven't seen yet. You know, the fact that Noose Constrictor can see play and the fact that, you know, Looping Prototype and things like that. Like, I'm anxious to see what other cards they can make good, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So there was some conversation based around Christine Sprinkle, who was at the pre-release and looked amazing. I was keeping up with her costume changes and her makeup, and she had this ridiculous Egyptian dress, which I loved. And it was like black and white and had the symbols all over it, and she really put a lot of time and effort into looking good for the event. And I was not watching the event, but I did see from social media that she seemed to be, you know, a little nervous and a little concerned with some of the feedback that she received. And I kind of wanted to talk about that. You know, did you guys notice that was going on? Like, what were your thoughts on that?
I definitely noticed. I was watching the pre-release, and I should note that she was one of two women who participated in the pre-release, Kathleen DeVere from Loading Ready Run being the other one. So she was the only woman representing, like, the community, so to speak, or, like, the only female guest, I should say, on the program. So... I mean, we talk about this all the time, you know, this idea of the mantle, when you're the only woman in the event or one of the few women in the event, like, there's an extra weight on your shoulders. And I could see while she was playing, she did seem nervous. She did, like, apologize for herself, you know, a number of times. And, I mean, I don't think there's any shame in making mistakes, especially at something like the pre-release. Like, I've been watching it pretty regularly since they started doing it, and everyone makes mistakes. Even like some of the big name Magic players that they've had on, like they had Marshall Sutcliffe on once, and he like completely misunderstood or like misevaluated a board state just because he didn't know any of the cards. It was like Shadows over Innistrad, and there was like no point of reference. So, you know, the first time you're playing with entirely new cards, like the day that the set is revealed, you really don't have a whole lot to go on, and you can misread a card or you can make a judgment error really easily. when you don't have experience with a set. So I think it's unfair to hold her to, you know, higher standards than everyone else. Like, it seemed like, you know, if one of the men who was playing made a mistake, it wasn't really a big deal, or like chat would like bug them for a minute and then move on. But it was like, if she made a mistake, then it was a much bigger deal, or they wouldn't let it go as easily. So there definitely is a double standard there, and I hope that that changes soon, because it was really frustrating to watch.
Did they have a moderator for their chat, out of curiosity?
They do. Okay. They usually do have pretty good chat mods, but, like, you know, I think part of it was that regardless of how well the chat was modded, when you're in Christine's position, or if you're a woman going to an event that you know is going to be broadcast on Twitch, like, the fact that people are saying things, even if the chat is being modded and even if you're not looking at it, the sort of you can almost imagine what people are saying, even if you're not seeing it. And so that's what really gets to people. It's not even, I mean, usually when they do the pre-release, they have two people playing and they have one of the participants on a tablet watching and interacting with the chat while it's going on. But, you know, even if you're the person in the seat playing and not the person watching the chat, you're still going to think, oh, you know, what are they saying? Oh, I made this misplay. How is chat going to react to this? And that can just lead to more and more misplays and more discomfort.
Yeah, for sure. I caught a few matches of it just today. When I got home, I turned it on the YouTube, and I was like, on the YouTube, I just sounded like an elderly person. sorry, all elderly people. I did not mean to put you down when I said you used those words. Anyway, I turned on the YouTube, and I was, like, looking through the comments, and I'm not sure if they got rid of them or not, but I saw a lot of people saying, like, this is really negative, or, like, people are being really negative, and it's so overwhelming how much positive support that there is for every one person that's negative. And I think it used to be, especially when we started the show, I think this is one of the things that has improved, even though when it's happening to you, it feels like nothing has changed. But I think that a lot of chats, you know, for every one negative thing that's being said, there's a lot of positive stuff coming their way. And I feel like it used to be that for every one positive thing, there was like 20,000 negative things. And I do think that that's something that has like improved over the last 2.5 years. And so I was trying to find, you know, exactly what people were saying, just so that, you know, I would know what was going on and what people were responding to and stuff. But I saw so many people that were like, hey guys, let's not be negative. Let's just give them some, like, constructive criticism. And then people took the time to write out, like, hey, these are things I'd like to see at the pre-release in the future, or things that I didn't think flowed very well. And so, I don't know. I think it's so hard to see things like that thrown your way. Like, when I was coverage judging, it was one of my favorite things to do. But the one time I went back and looked at comments or chat after the fact, there was like people alluding to me being like a cougar and like hitting on people, and I was like, where are you guys getting this from?
You're like 22, like, how can you be a cougar at 22? Like,
well, there was, you know, I can't remember his name, there's the popular little, I don't want to call him a little kid, young man. He's probably like 10, and he hangs out with like the Channel Fireball crew a lot. And he does pretty well. He's a very good Magic player, but I was watching their match, and his mom was like standing off, and she was like, I was reading the comments and people think you're his girlfriend. And I was like, what? Where are people getting this from? He's like more than a decade younger than me. It's fine. Anyway. So yeah, people come up with the weirdest stuff to comment on. But so, I mean, I think we've all been on the receiving end of some kind of chat comment hate, and while it doesn't really get easier to see or listen to, I do think we need to remember that I think things are moving in a more positive direction, even though it really sucks and it really hurts your feelings when you see people saying mean things about you. You know, it's at least a semi-silver lining to see everybody else who's in support of you, but it doesn't really negate the feelings that you get when people are being shitty.
Don't I know that? I think it's unfortunate that she had to deal with some stupid people in Twitch chat. And I still think it's unfortunate that some people still do, you know, face criticism, you know, as women in magic, which is unfortunate. I really hope that things like that will slowly go away as more people in the community kind of band together and support each other. And unfortunately, dealing with trolls on the internet or Twitch chat thinking that they know everything is just one of those things that just happens. And for me, I just try to ignore all that kind of stuff. And I figure unless someone's in my position, they're not really going to know what they were going to do. It's very easy to say how you would make a play, even while watching coverage, about something you would do. And why did this person make this big mistake? Or even watching Legacy the other weekend, and people are like, how is this 12 post deck, you know, 5-0? You know, they are playing terribly, or, you know, this. And it's like, but you don't know. You didn't see them. They're on camera. They're playing, you know, basically for you, for your entertainment, and all you're doing is criticizing them. I guess I've never understood why people feel the need to be negative when they could always be positive or offer their criticism constructively. But everyone would rather bang on the keyboard in all caps and yell and
roll their face out on it.
Basically. And, you know, it's one of those things that I know I'll probably have to deal with more when I start streaming on a regular basis, but I would like to think that those people, they don't know me, they don't know what I'm about, and they can say what they're going to say, and I'm just going to be like, that's nice. I don't claim to be the best player. I just like to play Magic, and I hope you're here because you want to see me play Magic, and if you have a problem with something I'm doing, well, I can point you in another direction, but maybe this isn't for you. So I did not actually get to see Christine play, which I'm sad about because it seemed like she had a lot of fun. And I don't think she's going to let these haters get her down, and she shouldn't. And I think that we can all learn something from dealing with negativity, whether it's on Twitch or YouTube comments or any of those things. I can't say that anything I read about myself in the past has ever necessarily hurt, but it doesn't necessarily feel good to have people criticizing you. But I guess it's one of those things that comes with being like a quote-unquote like D-list celebrity or something like that. So just kind of roll with it and be like, well, at the end of the day, this is just something that I enjoy doing, and I'm gonna go to work and forget about it and try to give you some more of myself at another time. And if you like what I do, then great. If you don't, there's the door. Mm-hmm.
It sounds like this is really just a case of the event not being for them. You know, like, there's a reason why PV isn't invited to the pre-release. There's a reason why, you know, Pascal Maynard isn't invited. It's not supposed to be a spiky competitive event. They're purposely inviting personalities, streamers, you know, people who, no shade, are not necessarily known for their play skill. They're there to entertain our asses. They're inviting cosplayers. They're inviting whatever. You know, if you went into it expecting this, like, you know, cutting edge deck building, you know, introspective whatever, you weren't going to get it. Like, I don't know what they were thinking, but it's like, I know that if I'm tuning into that, just like if I'm tuning into the Community Super League, or if I'm tuning into, you know, even when the Community Cup was around, I knew that I was going into it for the love. Like, I knew very clearly what the expectation was. And so I feel like a lot of people who were giving Christine flack were just not even in it for, it wasn't for you. Like, you know, you were not the target audience for this event. And I'm sorry that you felt that it should have gone a certain way, but, you know, they've been doing this for a while. I feel like by now it's very clear what they're trying to do. You know, and, you know, in my mind, pre-releases shouldn't be spiky competitive events. You know, we have one local game store that's giving away cases and shit. And I'm like, that's not my idea of a good time. Like, I'm having to read cards. I'm not reading these lists. You know, I'm not memorizing the image gallery before I go. It's like, you know, I'm going to be asking for judge calls and I'm going to need reminders to put a counter on something, you know? And so I like my pre-releases to be casual. And I feel like the spirit of the pre-release was intact and it was accurate. And I just don't really know what people were expecting. Okay. But yeah, I think the best metaphor or the best, analogy that I was ever given for dealing with feedback actually came to me on a date when we first started the show. I'll never forget this. Can I tell you the story?
Yes.
Okay. So I went on a date with this guy named Alex, and we went to an Italian restaurant. And I remember we were sitting outside, and somebody didn't like us. Like, I remember we got one of our first emails, one of the rare shitty emails that we got. And I remember I was just like, it's just so hard, and I don't understand. And mind you, I'm on a date, so I'm like bringing the date down with my bullshit. And he looks at me, and he goes, and there's like condiments on the table, and one of the bottles, there happened to be a bottle of olive oil, and there happened to be a salt shaker, and he goes, so he takes the olive oil, and he goes, "You're olive oil." And I'm like, I am? Okay. And he goes, "This is salt." And he goes, "Olive oil is who you are." He's like, "That's, you know who you are. Your friends know who you are. People in your immediate circle know who you are. They know olive oil. They love olive oil." He goes, "Salt is people's perceptions of you." He's like, "That's what people think they know about you. That's what they've heard about you. That's what they've read about you. That's what they want to believe about you." He was like, "Why do you care what people say about salt? They're not talking about olive oil." He's like, "They're talking about salt." And he's like, "So if they're not talking about olive oil and they don't even know olive oil," he's like, "why do you care?" And I was just like, and I thought I had like a quick answer. I was like, "This is stupid. Of course I have an answer." And I was like, "Because... why do I care?" And so it didn't, you know, it was a really ludicrous analogy. But the more I thought about it, and I still go back to that day where, you know, I kind of look at that criticism and say, are they really criticizing olive oil or are they criticizing salt? And if they're criticizing the irony in me being salt is just tremendous. Let me just put that out there. But, you know, the fact that, like, you know, he brought up a really good point in that they're not really insulting me. They don't know me. You know, they're going off of what they think. They're going off of, you know, a something I said on a podcast that might have been incorrect, but they're not really affecting me. And so really, really being able to identify who that feedback is aimed at and what they're trying to do with it has really helped me get a lot better at dealing with criticism, because most times they're not talking about olive oil, they're talking about salt. And so, you know, I think back at that moment, and that's been the way to sort of separate it. And, you know, on the rare occasions where olive oil is being critiqued, you know, then that is something I have to deal with. And that is something that I'm willing to accept and I'm willing to try to grow from. But, you know, not everything is, you know, most people don't know you. And so, you know, you have to determine if that feedback is really meant for you, if you're truly the target. That's our fun analogy of the day.
I liked it.
Olive oil and salt.
Olive oil and salt. And I really should have picked a better condiment. There are some listeners who are like, too real. So before we go, you know, Katie, you kind of touched on something, or it might have been Hallie, and you were talking about how, you know, things have improved since we started the show. You know, we started the show 2 years ago. You know, part of the reason that we started the show was we wanted to bring, you know, visibility to the issue of women in magic. We wanted to try to improve things in our own way. And, you know, how do you all feel that things have changed, if at all, since we started the show? Or maybe your perception of things has changed.
They definitely have changed a lot, as far as I've seen. The number of women going to tournaments has increased noticeably since we started the show, and the number of women we've seen making content has gone way up. There was a point, I think it was, I don't know, maybe a year ago, when I just looked at, I just sort of took a mental inventory of, like, okay, who are all the most exciting new content creators right now? And I realized that almost all of them were women, and all these women were sort of coming up at the same time. And it was really cool to be part of that and to see that, you know, if we had any hand in that, or, you know, even if we helped people or supported people on their way up, that was just really amazing for me to see.
I think that so many things have gotten better, like, both in my life and in the magic world. I remember when I guess I was 20 when we first started the show, and I was starting to become frustrated with my local scene because there was a lot of toxic players around, and I was frustrated about being the only woman, but I had nobody to express it to, really, except Brooke and my other, like, closest testing friends. And even after a while, I mean, sometimes they try to understand, but sometimes, unless you're in that situation, it's hard to get a full grasp of how ostracizing it can be. And so I remember the day where he was like, you should get a Twitter. I think there's people on Twitter that you would like. And I was like, what? So I got a Twitter. I had like 3 followers. 2 of them were bots. 1 of them was Brooke. And he was like, I think you'd like this Erin Campbell girl. And I was like, okay. So I'm like trying to figure out Twitter. And I remember tweeting at Erin, and then she tweeted back, and I was like, oh my God, these people like exist, and they're not in my realm, but they care about the same things. And just getting the eye opener of people who I felt like were on my same wavelength was really important for me, I think, at that point in my life. And then starting the podcast shortly thereafter really gave me a way to express not only the frustrations, but like, I feel like whenever somebody's complaining about something and you offer them a solution and they don't want to take the solution and they just want to keep complaining, that's where I was at before the podcast started. And then when the podcast started, I felt like I kind of moved into like, well, what can we do about it? Like, I'm ready to finally start, you know, making changes both in my life and, you know, what's making me happy in magic and what's making me happy outside of magic. And I think the podcast really helped me find that for myself. Both, you know, in my local game store, you know, I started talking to my TO and the manager and other judges in the area and just kind of putting the feelers out and starting my own journey through inclusivity in magic. And ever since then, I feel like it's been a crazy spiral of progress because we are seeing more people that are coming forward and being like, you know, I identify this way and I'm proud and I want to play magic and I want to find people who also want me to play magic with them. And I think that it's just so great. Like, this 100 episode journey has been amazing thus far, not only for me as a person, but for all of the magic community that I've been able to observe.
I think that things have definitely gotten better in the time that we have been doing the show. I feel like the amount of times that we've had to address issues in the community as they pertain to how women are treated in the game, they became that seldom talked about. And not that we don't still care about those things, but it felt like it was less prominent as time went on, which is definitely something that I think that maybe we had a hand in, maybe we didn't. But I definitely think that people became more woke to the different people that play this game. Women, trans, non-binary folk. A lot of people enjoy playing Magic and for different reasons. And I feel like it's really a sign of what the times will ultimately be as Magic goes on, you know, throughout the years. And I really hope for the best from our community because a lot of people are very, very vocal on social media about how they feel about different issues in magic, which I definitely appreciate. And I hope that that translates to outside of the internet and, you know, with groups. Like, I appreciate that, you know, friends of ours have started their own LPS chapters, that Play It Forward has their organization now. Hallie started Ladies on the Grind, and that really took off, and now people use that as a resource on a daily basis. And so I think it just starts with one idea from someone or someone speaking out against something that they don't agree with to start generating change slowly through the other people that you interact with. I, throughout the time of the show, became more aware of issues that many women faced plain magic, things that I personally did not deal with. And it kind of opened up my mind to what other experiences were going to be like, and that I wanted to be a champion for those people. You know, if you're having a problem, how can I help? You know, can I encourage you to find help somewhere else so that you don't have to deal with these kinds of situations? And ultimately, the show led me to decide that I wanted to become a judge. And I am very excited about that prospect and further helping the community, because the community has been my favorite part of doing this whole thing. And I've learned so much about myself and so much about other people in the community, other content creators, so many things. And I just feel like we're on this upward swing and it's only going to get better. And I look forward to more content creators that are women. I'm so very excited about the fact that Married to the Game is a thing. Mm-hmm. And I think with our departure, that will definitely fill a void for some people. And I really hope that it does, and that they get a chance to shine, and that people get a chance to know them like they got to know us. And so I can only hope for better things, and that, like most of our fan base does, you know, you see something that you don't agree with, you speak up about it, you get other people, you know, to rally around it and try to make change and try to be the change you want to see in the world. So I will always be thankful for what we did here, and I can only hope that it continues to get better, because ultimately that's all we really want.
Yeah, when we first started the show, I was convinced that I had the answer, and I put a lot of the blame for things solely at Wizard's feet. In my mind, I was sort of like that, you know, in the Batman comics, you know, you flash the bat signal, you're like, Batman, do something. And you're just, you know, you're hoping that if you just flash the signal, you know, he's going to swoop down and kind of fix everything. And I used to kind of look at Wizards as like the Batman, where, you know, Wizards, do something. And I was convinced that they would just wave this magic diversity wand and everything would sort of get better. And, you know, as we've been doing the show, I've come to realize that, you know, there's obviously still more work to be done from Wizard's side. They've made many great strides, but I really learned that it seems like a number of the issues that are still prevalent happen at the local game store level, whether it be at the actual store, whether it be the local community. But, you know, I was convinced that everything that was happening at the higher level, you know, that people were going to opens and having a terrible time, and people were getting, you know, harassed at GPs. And, you know, the one nice thing about doing this show is that people really did let us in. And, you know, we got to hear a lot of women's stories and a lot of non-binary folk stories. And the majority of the people who had issues or who chose not to go further with magic, the buck stopped at the local scene. You know, like, we would ask them, like, have you been to a GP? And they're like, no, I had such a negative experience locally that I didn't even go further. Like, I never did anything more than my local event. And that was really eye-opening for me, because I was convinced that it was all going down at GPs, and that GPs were just these, you know, low-key shitholes where, like, it was all, everything was going wrong, and we had to sort of, like, peel the mask back. And I was really surprised to hear that it was all local, that it was either the dirty bathrooms, that it was, you know, the booby play mats, that it was walking into the store and feeling like the circus freak, you know, that it was the staff not doing enough for you, you know. And I had no idea that that was where, you know, most people were having their difficulties. And, you know, as we've been doing the show more and seeing the commitment at the higher level, you know, seeing regional judges and seeing other judges, and there's a new group called, I guess, the Panda Judges, I think, and they've been writing these blog posts. And so, you know, seeing people at the high end of things saying that we're here for you, we're committed, but not quite seeing that really trickle down at the local level yet. And so, you know, when we first started the show, I was so convinced that it was all on Wizards, and I really had a change of heart when we started hearing people's experiences, because I had no idea that they weren't even making it that far, and that that was sort of where people were stopping. And I feel like we can sort of, you know, work to, you know, kind of work on that somehow, like either by making communities more exclusive. And again, I'm not saying it's the store's fault, but I'm saying that something in that local area is really what stops a lot of people from going further. And if we could just sort of work on that or improve that somehow, I think that'd be really great. So the last question I have before we wrap this up is, how have you changed as people since the show has happened? And is there anything you'd like to say to our listeners before we go?
Wow, it's really hard for me to wrap my mind around all the ways that I've changed. I mean, I can just say as a Magic player, my perspective on the game has definitely changed in the 2 years that we've done the show. I mean, we all had fairly fluid but still pretty well-defined roles, so to speak, when we came in. And the role that I filled was being the grinder and the one who went to tournaments every weekend. And I was that for a long time. I was that for, you know, the first year or so that we did the show. And I still think of myself as a competitive Magic player. I still strive to win whenever I play. I still strive to challenge myself to get better. But I don't know if maybe it's just that my priorities have changed, but that I don't look at competitive Magic the same way I had in the past, and that I guess I had to learn that competitive Magic isn't the only goal I have in life or the greatest goal that I have in life. My family and my friends became so much more important to me, especially my family, especially, you know, my career, because, you know, when we first started the show, I was, you know, I was a freelancer who wasn't getting a whole lot of work. And I was sort of content with that at the time because I was like, well, I'm 24 and I don't really need to hurry. I have all the time in the world. I can sort of take my time. And I don't know. I was kind of burnt out on being ambitious. Like, I was ambitious in the sense that, you know, I was dedicating all my time to practicing Magic, but I wasn't thinking about my future or, you know, do I want to have children? Do I want to own a home? You know, all those sort of big life questions weren't really on my mind because I was so focused on Magic. And once I took a step back and I started to think, do I actually want those things? And had a number of conversations with my partner about whether I did want those things, I realized that maybe I needed to spend a little less time on Magic and a little more time actually building a career. And I was fortunate in that through doing the show and through meeting a lot of people in the community, I was able to build a career. Like, this show was one of the reasons why I was able to demonstrate to Wizards that, you know, I could do tournament coverage as a writer, and how I was eventually able to demonstrate to Card Kingdom that I could be a community and content manager. And it took a long time. It took a really long time. It took about 4 years. But, you know, towards the end of the show, I started focusing much more on my career and much less on competitive Magic, because I realized that this was actually what I wanted out of my life. And, you know, I know that I do want to get back to playing Magic competitively again. I really do. I definitely still struggle to have, you know, the right people around me and, you know, have the right testing group. But I feel like I'm getting closer to that. I've met a lot of really great people in the last several months or the last year or so. And, I would really love to be able to do that. It's just going to be a matter of, you know, getting my work life under control now and hoping that the pendulum swings back, towards the middle again. But I think, doing the show has really helped me to embrace being a content creator. And, I know one of the things I've talked about on the show is, you know, where you make your impact. And, you know, one thing I've said in the past is that I wouldn't want to work full time at Wizards of the Coast, because that would mean that I wouldn't get to play the game anymore. And that for a long time, where I wanted to make my impact, and how I wanted to inspire other women to play was going to be through doing well in tournaments and being a grinder, being on the Pro Tour, doing well on the Pro Tour. And once I, you know, I think the thing that made it easier for me to put that on the back burner was because I was able to make an impact through being on this show. And the most... the scariest thing for me right now is not knowing what I'm doing next. I know that I'm going to be making content for Card Kingdom. I'm going to be making a lot of content and supervising a lot of content. but there's no really clear path yet. A lot of it is still stuff that I'm still developing plans right now for what I'm going to do over the course of the year, and it's really scary, and it's I don't know, it's really hard because I don't have all of you guys to be along with me, you know, but I'm really excited to see, you know, what I do next, and I'm really grateful to. I'm sorry I'm rambling so much. I just have so many feels. I am really grateful to, you know, everyone in the community who has given me the privilege of doing this and given me the privilege of being able to choose how I make my impact and following and caring about and supporting me however I've done it.
I kind of alluded to how the show has affected me personally, but they say that your 20s are a time for experimentation and learning about yourself. And yep. I think that kind of sums up exactly what this show has done for me. Sometimes you don't realize you're living in a bubble until someone comes and pops it for you.
Hello.
And I think that, I said that I was like frustrated with my local game store and kind of what was going on before the show had started, but I didn't realize how to affect anything and how to speak eloquently about like feelings when I was frustrated and how to just express myself further as a person and what all else was out there. Like, I knew I was frustrated about my thing, but realizing that a lot of people are frustrated about a lot of different things that are very similar to my thing really broadened my horizons. And the show has helped me grow a lot. And I like to think I would have grown as a person without it too, but I also feel like the show is kind of the rock going down the hill where I'm just like gaining momentum in my growth. And maybe it would have been like me slogging along, maybe up a hill or on flat ground and just kind of struggling through it. But listening to different viewpoints, getting to know different people over the last 2 years has just been incredible. And I started out filling the judge role on the podcast, but I am actually kind of happy to announce that my L2 did just lapse, and I purposefully let it. I was talking about it with Brooke, and he was like, I'm not really sure why that's making you happy, because usually when it happens to judges, they're, you know, it's because they forgot to judge something, but I knew that it was coming up, and I was like, I think it's for the best for me right now to take a step back from judging. Like, you know, I'm not super into the community here, and I don't really have time for GPs, and I study like 60 hours a week. And so studying like new rules every few weeks is just really not what I'm feeling. And I really just want to enjoy the game from a player standpoint. I'm really proud of what I've done in the Montana Magic community. We have a really thriving judge. I think we have like 30 judges or something now. Wow. In the state of Montana, up from like 6. Mm-hmm. I've organized a few judge conferences. So I think I've left my mark, and it's something that I can always come back to. But for now, I am kind of happy to just let it go and move on to the next thing, because the next phase of my life is basically all career oriented, and that makes me really happy. I love what I do. But, you know, at this point in my life, Magic has to take a back seat. And while I still enjoy it, I'll still play on Modo every few weeks. You know, you got to do what makes you happy. And for now, like, school, while it makes me miserable, it also makes me happy. And so recognizing those things in yourself is something I also learned through the show. I mean, we all have taken breaks at certain points and talked about burnout and all that. And I don't know. I've learned so much about myself. If somebody wants me to write like a memoir, I could. But yeah, I want to thank all the listeners for giving me constructive criticism. And even you people who didn't give me constructive criticism, because I had a few messages that was like, you sounded like a bitch when you said this. And I was like, oh, thank you. That's not how I intended it. But yeah, I feel like everybody has been overwhelmingly supportive. You know, all of our listeners or like, maybe you could do this better, or I really liked when you did this. Those things mean a lot to me personally, and I love everybody who's came on this journey with us. It's been a really good ride.
I'm going to try to share my feelings without getting emotional, so we'll see how that goes. When we first were about to start the show, I was really unhappy. Really, really unhappy with my life. And my job was kind of blah. I needed something to kind of bring me back up and give me something to be happy about. And thankfully, the show came around and it did that. And it was something that was scary and was exciting at the same time, because I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna be any good at this, but I'm never gonna know unless I try. So I did, and here we are 100 episodes later, which still blows my mind. And every day I'm glad that I got to do it, and I've had so much fun. We have so many amazing fans. The community's so great. And I've learned so much about myself. I really am going to be forever proud of everything that we did. And I'm so glad that we did that gender episode. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. That was like one of the best things we ever did. So if you guys have not heard that episode, please, please listen to it. Because it was exciting, hard. Hallie and I spoke about our experiences. Erin talked about hers, and Katie taught everyone how to be a good ally, and I thought that that was just really awesome. I've met so many awesome people from doing the show. People that were like, hey, are you Chris with the Girlfriend Bracket? And I was like, yeah, I do that thing. And it took me a while to remember, oh, hey, people get to hear you from all across the country, across the world, and something that you said or that your co-host said matters to them. So I've met so many amazing people just from interacting with the community, from going to events, from doing all the things. And I am just overwhelmed by how amazing the people that play this game truly are. And it's because of those people that I decided that I wanted to be a judge, that I decided I wanted to do other things in Magic. And I don't want this to be the end of that. I definitely want to make other content. I definitely want to work with other people, because I want to continue to make good things happen within the community, because ultimately it was my favorite thing about doing the show, was connecting with fans, having people DM me questions, asking for advice, showing me their decks. And I just think about different people that I've admired in my life that were famous or notable or just some of my favorite people ever. And I'm just like, I really wish I knew that person. And I definitely want to be that person for other people, to be approachable, to be, you know, someone you can go to for advice or just to geek out about something with you. And so our fans and the community have just been the best thing ever. And getting to do the show with three people that I think are some of the best people I will ever know has just been really, really amazing. And so I know that it's goodbye for now. It's not forever. But I will always remember this point in my life and be very grateful that I had an opportunity to do it. And so to our fans, thank you so much for being you. I'm so glad that we were able to do something really awesome for this community and give you something to look forward to every week. And I promise that we'll be around. We won't be far. It's just ta-ta for now, I guess, as they would say. So thank you so much. I am a better person because of you and because of the show.
You know, when I started the show 2 years ago, I really had three goals in mind for it. Number one, I wanted to love podcasting again because, you know, I had become very bored with it from doing the deck tease, and I didn't love it anymore. And I don't do things I don't love to do. I don't hang out with people I don't like. I don't work jobs I don't like. I don't play decks I don't enjoy. I just don't do that. And so I really needed a shot in the arm to enjoy this hobby again. And so I got the idea to just do a side project. And so the first goal was to do something that would make me love podcasting again. again. The second goal was to take some of this crazy visibility that I've been given and kind of spread it around a little bit, to turn the spotlight onto other really amazing people in this community, and that so that they can get some of that love too. And I really wanted to be the first female roundtable because it had never been done before. And I'm always trying to find new things to do. And I feel like I accomplished all of those goals. But for me, the biggest thrill of doing this show has been seeing people love you guys the way that I love you. I picked you three to be my co-host for a reason. I saw something in each of you. I've admired Hallie for a really long time. Hallie was the first person I wanted on the show. I was like, if we're going to do the show and I don't know those other two, I need somebody I know to be my anchor. And I know Hallie. So if the other two end up being boogers, I at least have someone that I like. But I've respected Hallie for a really long time. And I remember when we were at PAX, there were a lot of people from the Seattle area that came up to me and said, thank you for giving Hallie a voice, because we've always known Hallie was awesome. And it's really nice to see everybody else clue into that too. And that felt really good. You know, Katie, you are so funny. And I remember when you first started interacting with me on Twitter, I remember when you first found me, and I remember just seeing all of your pictures and the way that you had this zest for life and you just had this effervescence about you. And the minute we started tweeting, I knew that I wanted you on this show, and I knew that there was something beautiful in you that I wanted people to see. And Chris, you've been my friend for so long. And I remember, I don't know if I've ever told this story, but when Chris actually properly applied to the show, I remember we had decided that it was going to be Hallie and Katie and me, and we needed to find a fourth. And I had received a couple of emails from some girls, and they were really sweet, but like, it was very non-committal. It was like, well, I might, I could. And Chris and I had been friends, and Chris knew I wanted to start a podcast. And I remember checking my email one day, and I get this proper email of, hello, my name is Kristen Schultz. I've been listening to podcasts for so long. And I was like, Chris, you could have just told me you wanted to be on the show. But I knew that Chris wanted it. And Chris wanted it in a way that the others didn't. And so, you know, I had just become friends with Chris. I knew that Chris had a heart as big as their feet, and that they loved everybody. But the fact that they thought enough of this show, which hadn't even started yet, and they thought enough of me and of the people I had chose to send in this proper grammar-checked, spell-checked email with their podcast preferences, I was like, you're in. And I have enough visibility. You know, I have too much sometimes, and that's something I'm looking forward to taking a step back from. But having people come up to me and say, I love Hallie. Hallie's my favorite host. I want more Katie. I love Katie. I saw something in the three of you, and that's what I wanted other people to see. And the biggest thrill for me has been I see your Twitter followings multiply. I see you going on podcasts. I see you writing blog posts. And that was the goal of the show. The show was never about me. It was never about me getting bigger. It was never about me doing another community league. It was about taking some of what I had and letting other people have that spotlight. And I'm so fucking proud of you three. And I hope that you guys do something with these platforms that you've been given, because I see something in the three of you, and I want you to just burn really fucking bright, and that would make me so happy. And that has been the joy of doing this show, is seeing you three burn so bright. And I hope that we've maybe inspired other people to burn bright as well, our wonderful listeners. But the biggest thrill for me has been, you know, Chris sometimes refers to me as Mama Campbell because I get a little protective. But, you know, for me, the biggest thrill has been watching you all. And I've seen you all grow so much as people and as content providers. And I'm just really, really proud of you. And I hope that you keep doing something. Even if we're not doing it together, I want you three to keep shining. I know you've got it in you. So before we go, we promised a listener that we would do haikus, because we were joking that it was national. You know, we've talked about these weird national holidays that happened. And friend of the show, fan of the show, Rao Morney, had sent us a tweet, and he was like, it's National Haiku Day. I think before you go, you owe us a goodbye haiku. So who wants to kick us off with the goodbye haikus?
I'll do it, because I wrote two of them.
Whoa.
So the first one, so I wrote one, and it was, so I realized that the girlfriend bracket is exactly five syllables, which is really awesome. And so the first one I wrote was, the girlfriend bracket has changed my life forever. I will miss you all. And I was just like, oh, that's too sad. I have to come up with another one. So I came up with a follow-up, which is a little bit funnier. Such great memories. Shitty or not, here we come. Team Lumpy Doodahs.
Oh, Lumpy Doodahs. Oh my God.
Right in my heartstrings. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm like half crying. It's fine. I'll do mine next. It's kind of funny because Chris already said part of it. It is not goodbye. Be kind to each other, please. Ta-ta for now, loves.
Aww.
I love it. I love both of them so much. I had one that some people saw on Twitter earlier, which was...
which made me cry.
Got my haiku ready. Last one tonight. See you soon. Back tables for life. And the one that I wrote specifically for tonight was, Wild Ride was wild wow. Love you guys with us forever. More to come. Promise.
So I admit that I think I might have done this wrong, but haiku is 575, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Then I'm on the right track. I thought I heard some extra lines there. I was like, was this supposed to be longer? So I did, I made sure that mine rhymed as well. So 100 is here. A time for smiles, no tears. Much love to our peers. Whether it be listeners, other content providers, just much love to everybody. So for the last time, if people have enjoyed listening to you all, either on this episode or on the previous 99, how can they find you from here on out?
So I'm Hallie. You can find me on Twitter at HalCanSan. That's HalCanSan. I still have an Instagram at HalCanSan, and I still have a Snapchat at HalCanSan. I have not been updating them as much as I would like to, but maybe sometime in the future I will. So if you're listening to this, I don't know, maybe 6 months from now, check Instagram and Snapchat. I'm probably there. Like I said, I'm going to be doing a lot of content for Card Kingdom. Check my Twitter. I'll be announcing some things that we have in the works. But I will be doing a lot of work there, and I'm really excited. I'm only about a month in at this really awesome new job that I have, and I'm excited to see what else I do. So if you ever want to watch us on Twitch, we're at twitch.tv/cardkingdom. I've dipped my toe into doing commentary for them a bit over the course of doing the show, and I've really enjoyed it, and hopefully that's something that I do more of in the future. So check that out.
And I'm Katie. If you need advice on your animals or how cute they are, or how to inadvertently glare at everyone you see, or other general life things that I may have knowledge about, you can find me on Twitter at meanmugger, MeanMugger. I will be streaming periodically through my remaining years. twitch.tv/meanmuggermtg. I kind of have an Instagram. It's bearded_Watson. It's just pictures of Watson. Maybe Wally now that he's joined the family. Yes. But anybody can always email me if you want to chat or if you don't want me to talk back, but you just want me to read something that you write at katie.neil14@gmail.com.
I just want to say I demand some more Mr. Weebles.
Oh, well, Weebles and I will be moving in together.
Yes.
In July. Anthony and I are moving into a house together. It'll be my first time living with a significant other and our herd of animals. So I'm sure there will be many, many pictures to come.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm Chris. My Twitter is at THKRIZ. My Gmail is yothkrizy@gmail.com. My Snapchat, which I'm bad about updating, but I like creeping on all of yours, is Cryptic Command with K's. My blog is backtablesmtg.wordpress.com. I will be streaming on a regular basis starting next week. Wednesday, April 26th will be the first date, and I will be streaming Wednesdays from 8 until 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, and Friday afternoons from 2:30 until 4:30 Central Standard Time. You can find that stream at twitch.tv/tacriz.
I also have a new project in the works, but I don't want to say anything about it yet because I still need to make sure that it's a thing. And also, probably starting soon, Aaron from Turn One Thoughtseize and I will be streaming, I believe, Monday nights, time to be determined, on his account, twitch.tv/T1Thoughtseize. And you can always email me, DM me on Twitter if you need advice, if you want to talk, anything like that. I love hearing from all of you. Please keep in touch, and I hope to see many of you at GP Vegas or any other events in the future. Yes. Love you all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Vegas is going to be a really good time. And I'm Erin. You can find me on Twitter at OriginalEstrus. That's OriginalEstrus. You can email me at OriginalEstrus@gmail.com. Snapchat OriginalEstrus. I stream every Tuesday and Thursday nights at 8:30 p.m. Central Time at twitch.tv/OriginalEstrus. Magic Mics will be my only gig going forward. Every Wednesday night, twitch.tv/Magic Mics. You can, pretty much anything OriginalEstrus is me. I'm pretty accessible. I will be going to Vegas as well. I'm also looking forward to possibly going to Eternal Weekend, so hopefully I will see you there. Thank you so much for listening to us these past 100 episodes, for supporting us. We've read every single email, every tweet, and we really and truly could not have done this without you, and we will see you around. Take care. Bye.